Why would I still believe in the church? Some of us have endured church conflicts and disputes. They've been difficult, hurtful times. We've wanted to walk away, and for a time, some of us have done that on occasion. Churches can be the source of much harm in our world. We need only think of the Inquisition and the Crusades in church history, or residential schools in more recently in our own country. The church has at times been the place of inappropriate guilt and expressions of anger. At times it's been the place of worst forms of abuse. Some now in this congregation have lived such experiences in other churches. Writers such as Christopher Hitchens argue that in sum total, organized religion, including the Christian church, has on balance caused more harm than good in our world. At times when the church hurts us, we might find ourselves agreeing with him. And then we read about the first church in our New Testament reading today. It was Pentecost and the days immediately following. 3,000 converts all at once. These were heady days for the church. It was the church at its best. We might respond, now that is what church should be. If only we could be a church like that, so positive, such a great time. In some circles, we hear the repeated statement, we must get back to what the New Testament church was. Certainly, it was the church at its best. Reading just these verses alone would say, we would be prone to say, what a great church to be part of. Those must have been splendid days. They no doubt were. But when we read on in the New Testament, we realize that this was merely the honeymoon period of the church. Not long afterward, theological debates and disagreements took place, and some of them were quite heated. Money problems developed in this same congregation in Jerusalem. An offering had to be taken in other churches to help them out. There were soon personality conflicts in some churches as some fellow believers seemed to just not like each other or be able to get along. All that in the first century church. It might sound familiar. Even at its best, the church, the early church, was far from perfect. Archbishop Thomas Collins says, if you are looking for the perfect church, when you find it, join it. And when you join that church on that day, it will cease to be perfect. And so with all the negative experience and the bad press, and even the first century church being so imperfect, why do I still believe in the church? Why not just drop out and do something else in life and with my Sunday mornings? Now, this morning I realize that I'm preaching to the converted. You are here in church, so you too, in some way or other, must believe in the church already. But occasionally I find it's helpful for me to think about the reason that I come to church and I'm part of church. And perhaps it's helpful to you as well to think of that question. Now, probably you would come up with your own reasons, but I've got a few that I would like to propose this morning. And let me answer the question, why do I still believe in church, based on the lectionary reading? The first reason that I really still believe in church, because at its best, the church provides community. As I read these verses, the first thing that impresses me is that all these believers were having a really great time. They visited in each other's homes. They ate meals together. They had glad hearts, we read. They were filled with joy and celebration. It was a great ongoing party. They had community. They had experienced the forgiveness and the joy of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. That is the source of their joy and celebration. Now, I love celebrations in the church community. We celebrate births and baby dedications. We celebrate new faith and baptisms. At some times, we celebrate achievements. We celebrate birthdays. And even when an older saint dies, we even celebrate their entering into God's presence. Community involves celebration. Community also involves support. Bear one another's burdens, we are instructed. And in churches, that happens. When members are bereaved or lose their jobs, when they await medical test results or have family troubles, it is usually to the church that they turn for support. And usually, though sadly not always, the support is there, because at its best, the church is community. As many of you know, last summer was a difficult time for Dot and myself. While in Ontario, we experienced multiple losses and challenges in a matter of a few weeks. And as my father-in-law was dying, we had very few supports around us. And I realized at that time just how much I miss the community of First Baptist Church here in Edmonton, and how much I appreciate the support that came through emails and prayers from many of you at that time. The church community is a place of celebration. It's a place of support. It's also a place of accountability. Now, I probably don't like it any more than you do when someone challenges me on something in my life or faith that could be improved upon. But I need that. Being accountable stretches me, corrects me, and results in my being a better person. I need the accountability that comes from the community of the church. I believe in the church because it provides community with its celebration, its support, and its accountability. Now, interestingly, even non-believers acknowledge the significance of the church as community. Greta Vesper has been an active leader in one of the historic churches in Toronto for many, many years. And now she's written a book in which she refutes nearly every one of the fundamental tenets of the Christian faith. And some have called for her to be expelled from the church because of rejecting these beliefs. But she herself was asked why she remains in the church when she does not share its essential beliefs. And Vesper replied, "Because no other organization in Western culture can provide the sense of community the churches can offer. I still believe in the church because at its best, it provides community. And then I still believe in the church because at its best, the church provides education." We read in the scripture this morning that these believers in the early church persevered in the teaching of the apostles. There was education, a learning, and grounding in their new faith. Now we live in an age of private spirituality. So many, it seems, describe themselves as being spiritual, but really have a limited ability to define what that means. With private spirituality, it seems that virtually anything goes as long as it provides some sort of spiritual experience, whether or not it has any grounding or content, whether or not it results in my being a more moral person or being more caring of my neighbor, of the environment, is irrelevant, it seems, to the experience. But not in the church. The church provides content, a grounding for my faith. In a study of youth in the U.S., Christian Smith discovered that for the most part, youth like being in church. Now, that's the good news, and it contradicts the popular belief that youth rebel against the church. However, the bad news is that when asked about what they believed, most of these same youth, to use Smith's words, said, as Smith said, are abysmally ignorant about their faith. They loved the community, but they lacked the content of their faith. I need the teaching of the church. I need to be grounded in my faith. But I also need the growth that comes from learning in the church. I need to think through issues of faith when they are raised in the media or in conversation. I need help to think Christianly, if we can use that term, about current issues, about the world food shortage, about the environment, about climate change, about controversial advances in science, or about political matters, about God's perspective on these things, and about my responsibility. I have found that the church to be a great place to learn and to be helped to think through so many of these matters. And one of the things that I have missed here at First Baptist this past 18 months is the strong educational component that we formerly had in our program, and I look forward to being able to study and deal with such matters again when we're able to reestablish and ramp up such an educational component. But the learning that the church provides goes well beyond the local congregation. The church founded places of formal education, schools and universities throughout Europe and North America, and some of these places of learning are centuries old. Though the word mission now seems to be a bad word because of its connotation of proselytization, it was the church in its mission outreach that began schools in so much of the developing world, as well as in the inner city neighborhoods of North America and the United Kingdom. I believe in the church because I find that it is best the church provides learning to its members and to society. And then thirdly, I believe in the church because at its best the church provides opportunities for worship. When I read these verses in our lectionary reading this morning, I read that this early church persevered in prayer. They were in the temple together. They spent much time praising God together. Now I can worship God on my own. I can praise God on my own. I don't need a church building in which to worship. In fact, I find that some church buildings are an impediment to worship just by their architectural designs. And certainly, gazing at mountain peaks or walking in an alpine meadow can do more to inspire worship than most church buildings. Of course, I can and I should worship God on my own. But worshiping community in the church adds depth and understanding and a whole other dimension to my worship of God. During Holy Week, of course, I can read the narratives of Jesus' Last Supper, of his arrest, of his crucifixion. But the Maundy Thursday Tenebrae service in the church helps me to experience the Passion narratives in a much more powerful way, and so moves me to worship of God that I could never do alone. Certainly, I could celebrate Easter alone as well, the resurrection, but in the community with breakfasts and hymns and choir and trumpets, praises to God for the resurrection well up within us as they never could in a time of private prayer. Now, obviously, there's such a variety of churches. In fact, an outsider who's just projected onto this planet might have difficulty recognizing that there is anything in common. Some churches have long services, some are brief. Some have great oratory, others have simple, brief homilies. Some churches have raucous celebrations, others quiet contemplation. Some have great outreach or missions programs, and others, it seems, are just subsisting. Some meet in great cathedrals or in theaters, and others gather in groups under thatched roofs. Some sing, others chant, still others, it seems, just mumble. In some, there are no seats. In others, there are kneeling benches. And yet others, one sits the entire service. Some focus on personal piety. Others on social action and social justice. Such a contrast in diversity. Yet the one and only thing which is common to the churches throughout history and throughout the world is worship itself. I believe in the church because the church provides worship of God. And then fourthly, I believe in the church because at its best, the church provides caring. Caring for society and caring for the world. As I read the text, I see how there was a deep level of caring among the members for one another. To the point that they sold their possessions, as Sandy mentioned, sold their goods and their possessions to provide for those who were in need. They pooled their wealth. They had all things in common, we read. But it would seem that their caring went well beyond their own community, for they had the goodwill of all the people. They were well regarded by those around them. The early church had a positive impact on society because it was such a caring community. I have at times been a recipient of such caring, and at other times, hopefully, have been able to be a part of contributing to that caring of the church. The last few months, I've been thrilled to see the caring of this congregation, as so many have given generously to all sorts of needs or projects or opportunities. In fact, 3 weeks ago, over $1,000 was raised in a simple bake sale for the students who are going to Zambia. I have to surmise that some of you ate some very expensive cookies or slices of cakes and pies. I hope you savored each morsel as a result. But I hope you savor even more the fact that you have been a help to these students and a help to students in Zambia as well. The church provides caring. In many of the major cities of the U.S., the names of larger hospitals often carry the word Presbyterian or Baptist or Methodist or the name of a saint. One church or another was responsible for establishing that hospital. In India, where only 3% of the population is Christian, until recently nearly one-third of the health care was provided by Christians. Because the church, by nature, provides caring. And then I thought about our own city. And I was astounded at the number of organizations that I could recall which were established by churches because the churches cared about the common good. Let me list just a few of them that come to mind. There's the Bissell Center, the Mustard Seed, the Hope Mission, and the Salvation Army, all in the inner city. As social agencies, there is Catholic Social Services, the Edmonton City Center Church Corporation, now known as E4C. There's Cornerstone and other Christian counseling centers. For newcomers, there is the Mennonite Center. In healthcare, the Caritas Group with its hospitals, the Good Samaritan Society, and the Good Shepherd Society. You can no doubt add to them yourself. And I was surprised to realize how much this church has been connected with so many of them, either in their founding or directly, or some people who serve and work with them. These agencies have made an immeasurable impact on our own city. The church, said Bishop William Temple, is the only cooperative society that exists for the benefit of its non-members. The church cares about those in need. And so I believe in the church. I believe in the church because at its best, the church is about community and learning. The church is about worship and about caring. Now, the church does not always do a great job. At one time or another, we have probably all been hurt in the church. I have counseled those who have been excluded from community in some churches. Others have learned some poor theology or pseudoscience in other churches, and I've likely disseminated some of that myself, if truth be told. The worship of God would never be perfect, and the church could always care more. The church has its problems and has its critics, but I still believe in the church, for the church is about community and learning, about worship and caring. And let me add that I believe in this church, First Baptist Church. This church, like any others, has had its challenges and its imperfections over the years. And as we look ahead, we don't know what to expect over the next few weeks. But I still believe in this church, for here we find community and learning and worship and caring. More importantly, though at times obscured and discredited, here too we find the Spirit of the living Christ. Let us pray. God, thank you for your church. Despite the imperfections and the problems, we thank you for the blessing that the church has been to so many of us. Grant us to be faithful to you so that this church may continue to provide community and learning and worship and caring, that it may continue to be the embodiment of the Spirit of Christ, and that it all would be pleasing to you. Amen.